Would you pray with me? Lord, we give you thanks for this day and especially for our time here this evening as we are once again able to really reflect on what you have truly done for us. Lord, we pray that as we have come here as well to receive your Son's body and blood in the sacrament of the altar, that while this is a mystery to us, we believe your words when you say, "This is my body and blood shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins." Lord, I ask that you would just open our hearts to your word tonight, that you would block out a few of the distractions that might be going on in our minds so that we can focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have been going through the Lenten season with our Wednesday evening services, we've been looking at the cross, what the cross means to us, and kind of been looking at some different aspects of the cross that we normally may not think about all the time. But we've been looking at that in conjunction with what Jesus has done for us through the cross, but also looking at it from the perspective of Jeremiah in the sense of his life and what took place. And then also we have to, at some point, reflect on our life and see how all of this affects us as well. And so if you recall, going back to somewhat the beginning of the series, the mystery of the Father's love. I said that it is truly a mystery to us. We really can't begin to fathom and take in what our God has done for us by sending His Son, His only Son, to die for us. And so as we look at the cross and as we looked at Jeremiah, Jeremiah definitely had a direct call from the Lord. The Lord came to him and he said, "I'm sending you to a pretty harsh, obstinate people. And I'm sending you to proclaim my words to them." Now, Jeremiah had that call on his life. Jesus obviously had a call on his life. By leaving the realms of heaven and coming into a sin-filled world to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. And we as Christians, we have a call placed on our lives that we are to go out into the world and share the life-saving message of Jesus Christ with that world. And so there is a call involved with the cross. With that call, we also saw that there is a burden that has to be bore by someone. And we see in Jeremiah's case, it was certainly true for him as he went and proclaimed this life-saving message to the people, which they thought was horrible. They wanted to kill him. But yet it was extremely good news, but they didn't get it. Jesus comes into the world to proclaim that same message. What's his fate? They wanted to kill him and ultimately did. Now, as we live our lives in this world as Christians, the Christian life has some burdens that go along with that. Fortunately, you haven't seen death yet from it, right? You're still here. But we as Christians could possibly face some extreme persecution before our time on this earth is over. And so being a Christian walking in a sin-filled world can be a burden. But it's a burden that we're willing to bear. The cause of the cross, as we looked at that, the cause of the cross is because of the burden we bear. The cause of the cross is simply the law that people cannot fulfill. The Lord laid out the Ten Commandments for the Israelites, and I made a joke about this at one point. You know, Adam and Eve were given how many laws? One? Really one. Don't eat of that tree. And they couldn't even keep that. How does God think this group of people is going to keep 10 of them? We can't, right? They couldn't. We can't. And that's the whole cause of the cross. That's the whole reason Jesus had to come into the world to bear that cross, to bear that burden, was to take our sins upon himself, to take our punishment so that we wouldn't have to. And so tonight as we get to the sacrament of the altar, we get to the fruit of the cross. We get to a holy meal. And that fruit of the cross is a new covenant that Jesus made with the disciples on the night that he was handed over to be crucified. I want to read the Jeremiah passage, just or part of it, just one more time, because Jeremiah is actually extending good news and hope to the Israelite people. He says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." This new covenant was a promise and hope for the Israelite people that they were going to be brought back into a covenant relationship with God himself. Unfortunately, that covenant's going to fail too on the people's part. They're going to reject him. They're going to turn from him again. When Jesus comes onto the scene, though, as he enters that upper room on Maundy Thursday, the night that he was betrayed, as he goes to celebrate the Passover meal, which was the meal that they celebrated every year, as a reminder, if you remember, the Lord told them when they left Egypt, that night that they left, they celebrated the Passover meal. He says, I want you to do this every year. And when your children ask what it is, you are to remind them of how the Lord saved them out of the hands of the Egyptians. And so the disciples and Jesus are really, they're coming, or at least the disciples think they are, coming together to celebrate this Passover meal. But Jesus has a little bit of a surprise in store for them. I can't even imagine what they thought when for hundreds of years they had been celebrating this Passover meal. And now all of a sudden Jesus takes this bread and he breaks it and gives it to them and says, "This is my body." And he passes that cup and he says, "This is my blood. This is my blood of the new covenant shed for you for the forgiveness of sin." We talked about the sacrament of the altar, right? Can you shake your... Okay. Hopefully you got something out of it over the last few weeks. We talked about what a sacrament is and what does that mean. And I think a sacrament is a word that... How many of y'all use that word every day? Nobody? Yeah. I mean, we don't use that word much. And so it can be kind of confusing at times. What does that word mean? And so the sacrament is a sacred act. And it's really derived from a Latin word, sacramentum, which is a pledge or an oath. And I think this is very significant for us to understand, because when Jesus is giving this body and blood in this bread and wine to the disciples there at that Last Supper, this is a big deal. Because he's saying, "This is my last will and testament. This is what I am leaving you with, because I'm going to die. I'm going to go to heaven, but you're always going to have this." And I told the confirmation kids, just imagine that if you have a relative that passes away and they have a will, and it says, "John, you get the bank account. Brad, you get the car. Mitch or Grant. Grant, you get the house." I mean, when that person dies, can you change that will? I mean, maybe people attempt to, but you can't change that. And that's what Jesus is saying. "This is my last will that I'm leaving with you when I'm gone, that you will have, and it is my body and blood in this bread and wine." And we don't mess with that. Because when Jesus says it, it's right, right? Yeah. Can we understand it fully? I wish someone could explain it to me. But I believe it because Jesus says it. And so when we take the Lord's Supper, when we take the sacrament of the altar, and the Bible calls it the breaking of bread, we went all over all that, all the different names that it can be used. When we take that, we're receiving something extremely special. Just to refresh everyone's memory, I might see if they can remember it too. They had it sooner than y'all did. Y'all's is way back. But there's three things in a sacrament that we look for it to be a sacrament. The first one is, does anybody remember? Jesus did what? Jesus said to do it, right? Jesus instituted it. He said, this is for everyone. The second thing is there is a visible element attached to that sacrament. So for the Lord's Supper, what's the visible element? Bread and wine. Baptism? Water. And the third thing is that has to be, for us to call it the sacrament, has to be what? What has to be attached to that physical element in the Word? Forgiveness of sin. And so when we take the Lord's Supper, we are certainly remembering what Jesus did for us on the cross. But we're doing much more. We're receiving the fruit of the cross. We're receiving a holy meal that brings the reality of the forgiveness that the cross won for us to us personally. And when we commune up here, who are we communing with? God, and who else? Everybody that's here with us, right? And so when we receive the Lord's Supper, it is a special time for us individually with God and us together as a congregation. And I told the confirmation students, we probably don't take this sometimes as serious as we ought to. I mean, we may come up here not really even thinking about it sometimes. But Jesus tells us, or Paul actually tells us in his words, that the sacrament can be taken in an unworthy manner when we don't discern the true body and blood of Christ in it. And also when we come up just, not really placing our sins at the foot of the cross and leaving them there. And so the sacrament of the altar is a very important part of a Christian's life. It's extremely important because it's where we do receive that forgiveness. We receive the strengthening of our faith to help us walk through this Christian life as those burdens, or the burdens that we're faced with, come into our life. And so I pray this evening that as the confirmation students, those that are receiving the sacrament of the altar, the Lord's Supper, for the first time, that it is a special time for them. I told them, and I made the parents aware of this, I always let them try a little bit of the wine and the wafer. They tried that yesterday, right? And I do that because it may have been the first year I was out of the seminary, I nearly had the wine spit back all over me because it was such a shock. And, I mean, yes, the Lord can shock us, right? But I don't think He wants to shock us that way. And so I wanted them to be prepared for it so that they could really focus on what the sacrament means. And I pray that that's what has happened. I pray that each one of you will individually and personally know that Jesus is coming to you tonight in His body and blood, and everyone here that we are receiving this, that He's coming to us for the forgiveness of sin and the strengthening of our faith. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.